This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. Recording this one on a Thursday night, late at night before, you know, big day in the city of Philadelphia tomorrow. Not sure if you've heard, but the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Just an absolutely incredible week. Obviously, an amazing game that took place on Sunday with an absolute beatdown of the two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, I can't say I didn't totally expect it because I did think the Eagles were the better team coming into the game. And I think that the Chiefs, despite being 15-2 this year, were, you know, obviously, you know, a dynasty in the making. But they absolutely beat their ass, man. And it is pretty incredible to see what the Eagles have done over the course of the season. So credit to everybody, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, the whole nine yards. And we have a parade in the city of Philadelphia tomorrow. So going to be very occupied with that. But as you know, if you listen to this podcast, we have to get our Phils fix in because the Phils are down in Clearwater. You've got pitchers and catchers, P's and C's, down at the complex in Clearwater. Gloves are popping. You know, you've got bats cracking yet because just pitchers and catchers. But, you know, you're starting to get the pictures from down there in Clearwater. And it's getting me all hyped for baseball season. Like, if you know me, and obviously you do if you listen to this podcast a little bit here, like, there's nothing that warms my heart more than the start of baseball season. And now that we've created the bridge with the Super Bowl to Philly season, we don't pay attention to the Sixers and Flyers because they're both a mess right now. It's nice to be able to get the Phils back here. And so with the pod today, going to put a wrap on free agency. Had a couple of big signings come in this week that I want to talk about for sure. And kind of the two biggest pieces left, the biggest pitcher in Nick Pivetta and, of course, the biggest position player in Alex Bregman signed, so wanted to give my thoughts there. And Dave Dombrowski, Rob Thompson also spoke to the media this week as they all get down there to Clearwater. And I had some interesting takeaways from Dave Dombrowski's press conference that I wanted to discuss as well. And then, you know, just give some general thoughts on what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing from down there and just, you know, heading into the season where I'm at with some of these individuals. So that should get us through, you know, a good chunk of this podcast, and we'll see where it gets us. So want to start off with the free agent stuff, like I just mentioned. The big two free agents that were kind of left on the board here, and, you know, you can even throw in the biggest relief guy in Kenley Jansen, who goes to the Angels. They all signed. Kenley Jansen, as I just mentioned, goes to the Angels. But the big two I'm referring to is Alex Bregman, one. He signed a three-year, $120 million deal with a couple of options in there with the Boston Red Sox. He goes for the higher AAV instead of, you know, the longer-term deal here. So Alex Bregman will be a Red Sox this year, and kind of want to get into their lineup in a second because they're an interesting team over in the AL East for sure. And former Philly Nick Pivetta, who was probably the best starter still on the market, signs with the San Diego Padres, a four-year, $55 million deal. And it's funny. Obviously, the Phillies are pretty set starting pitching-wise, and they have probably one of the deepest rotations in the league now that they've acquired Jesus Luzardo and Christopher Sanchez going a year or two of being, you know, an absolute stud here. But, You know, I had some interesting thoughts about maybe if they were to consider bringing Nick Pivetta back and maybe like a high leverage bullpen role, which, you know, obviously would be a stretch. And I had that idea with Scherzer, and sometimes, you know, the wheels just start turning in my mind, and that's what I'm thinking. But knew that probably wasn't going to happen, especially considering he was a restricted guy to where you would have to give up the second round pick in compensation. So Nick Pivetta goes to the Padres, and I will say, like, the Padres are definitely a threat in the NL West as well. Like, they had a great season last year. Obviously, we know the Dodgers are going to be, you know, the cream of the crop out there. But the Padres still have a great lineup that's coming back, and they've definitely made, you know, some improvements to the starting rotation as well. That's assuming that they don't get rid of Dylan Cease there in San Diego. So thought that was an interesting signing, and it was only a matter of time for Nick Pivetta, considering that he was probably the best starting pitcher still on the market after, you know, a good chunk of them had already gone this offseason. So that's where I'm at with that signing. And just to go back to the Bregman thing for a second, I think it's interesting that Bregman was so locked in on getting, you know, the highest AAV here, because he's going into, you know, he's in his mid-30s now, and he's going into a season where he's going to be out of Houston for the first time, and he goes to a Boston team that, you know, has a pretty intriguing lineup. Like, they have guys there. Jarren Duran, who was fantastic for them last year, I think was top 10 in MVP voting in the American League. Like, he'll be their leadoff guy. You've got Devers in there. Tristan Casas, who was hurt for the majority of last year. He's a really nice young bat that's going to be back for them. They've got Trevor Story, who, if they can keep healthy, you know, is a productive bat in that lineup. And in a stacked division like the AL East, like, they have a lineup that's potentially going to be able to compete for them. And they made some nice free agent acquisitions as well this offseason. They got Walker Buehler in there, who had a phenomenal postseason in 2024 after being injured for, you know, it felt like a couple years now with the elbow problems. And I just think that's going to be a really interesting division to watch. Probably the most even division in baseball. Not necessarily the best, because I think the NL East is probably the best in terms of top heaviness with the Phils, the Braves, and the Mets. But then you have that AL East to where I think all those teams could easily finish above 500, and clearly they'll all end up playing each other a bunch. Not like it used to, but still a bunch. And it's going to be interesting to see who, if they kind of, you know, cannibalize each other a little bit and end up all being in sort of the 85 to 95 win range, with obviously the defending AL champion Yankees in there. You've got the Orioles, who are still young and are still looking to build, even though I think they've had a very underwhelming offseason. They still have Gunnar Henderson. They still have Adley Rutschman. They still have a lot of these good young guys and Corbin Burns leading their, sorry, excuse me, not Corbin Burns. They lost Corbin Burns to the Diamondbacks. So they still have young pieces there, but I still think that probably the Yankees are the favorite. You can't sleep on this Red Sox team, though. And even though the Blue Jays and the Rays are probably towards the bottom, they're still well above average ball clubs, in my opinion. So I think that'll be very interesting to watch. And as I transition off this a little bit with the Phils getting to spring training, I want to talk about Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson and what they had to say yesterday. It's more Dombrowski than Rob Thompson, because Rob Thompson gave you a lot of the standard answers that a manager will give you at spring training, that, you know, this guy looks good, and, you know, this guy they're looking for a lot from. And you know, I didn't see much into it, but Dave Dombrowski gave a few interesting, you know, thoughts on what he's thinking going into this year. And, you know, the first one, and it's funny, they brought up Taijuan Walker really early in this press conference, and Dave Dombrowski talked about how he thinks that they can compete with teams like the Dodgers and compete with teams like the Braves and even some of these juggernauts in the American League because of the starting pitching depth that they have. And that's something I really agree on. Like, obviously, they built this team to where the rotation is the strength. We saw that last year, and it's the reason why they won, you know, 95 games and were the champions of the National League East. And I think ultimately, though, he brings up Taijuan Walker, and he said that Taijuan, they are having in camp solely to be a starter. Like, they are working with him as if he is going to be a starter for this team. And it just makes me wonder, like, when do you cut ties here? Because last year we went through the season after Taijuan was really going through his struggles, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, when are they finally just going to bite the bullet and are going to eat all this money that they're going to have to, you know, give up, because he still has 2 years left of this, you know, 20-ish million dollar a season deal. And he's a guy who, you know, they obviously had go through a program this offseason. I think it was a weighted ball program to try to get his velocity up, because that was obviously the main issue last year. Was, you know, he came to the Phillies as a guy who can use his velocity and then play the splitter off it really well. Like, that's who they wanted in Taijuan Walker when they signed him. And he came here as a guy who throws 95, 96 miles an hour. And, you know, after a couple of injuries and I guess just, you know, wearing down with age, you know, he was pumping 89, 90 miles an hour last year on his fastball, which obviously just is not going to play. And they said his velocity looks better. And again, he was one of the first guys that they mentioned. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But, you know, with Painter and bringing in Lizardo and having five or six guys here who you really trust, I just wonder if we get to towards the end of the spring and they're at a place with Taiwan to where he's not pitching well in spring training and, you know, he's going against guys who might not be in the majors and he's still, you know, giving up a lot of production, do they cut ties before the season starts? So definitely an interesting situation to monitor. One, I'm going to be monitoring very closely just because it feels like if they're really serious about this year and wanting to, you know, go all in, because there are mixed thoughts out there about what this year could potentially be. Like a lot of people I know who know the Phillies well think this could be a pause type of year to where they didn't make a lot of big moves in the offseason. I love the Lizardo move, but that was probably the only big-ish move that they made. And based off what they've done the last couple of trade deadlines, do they just wait for the Aiden Millers to come up? Do they wait for Painter to really establish himself? Are they waiting for Justin Crawford to, you know, continue his progression and possibly be an option in 2026, 2027? So I obviously hope that's not the case, especially, you know, as I mentioned about the Eagles, given the momentum that's going on in the city right now, it feels like, you know, a lot of people want the Phillies to be next. Like, I want Bryce Harper to win a World Series before he has to retire. I want Kyle Schwarber to win a World Series affiliate. I want Zach Wheeler to be able to add World Series champion to his, like, really impressive resume. Want to get a Cy Young, too. But a World Series, obviously, is the number one priority for him, I'm sure. So there are a lot of guys that want to win a World Series here, and I don't know if a pause year is necessarily the worst thing for that, considering you can restock and retool for 2026, 2027. But I don't know, and I think a lot of the decisions that they make this year and in camp coming out of spring training could kind of indicate whether that's what they're thinking or not. So it's kind of where I'm at on Taiwan and just, you know, kind of as with the team as a whole right now as they enter camp. And they had some other notes in there too, Dombrowski did. I think Wes Wilson will continue to be, you know, a piece off the bench for them. I know they like his positional versatility a lot, and they think that he sort of had an unsung year last year. And against lefties, he could very well easily play, you know, all the time, considering he can play the outfield if he wants to. He's gotten reps at second, at third, even though wasn't great at third in that postseason. But Edmundo Sosa is another guy they also mentioned as well, where he could potentially make a slide to the outfield this year and could get some reps out there. So it seems like they have a lot of those right-handed guys off the bench that could be able to come in and produce. And it's just ultimately one of those things to where if they, you know, are in a spot where they're facing a lot of lefties in a row, I think that those guys could be contributors once again this year for Rob Thompson in that lineup. And we'll see how it shakes out with Max Kepler if he turns into an everyday type of player. Johan Rojas, they made sure to specify that, you know, he has to make the team first before they can just start planning around him and planning on what his role is going to be on this team this season, which they did last year, but he ended up being on the team for the majority of the year as well. So they still have some decisions to make there, but it does feel like the roster is pretty much set, aside from a couple of guys who, you know, might be the long guys in the bullpen. I know there are some guys who still aren't in camp yet. But at the same time, ultimately, this lineup or this roster is pretty set.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So, they also mentioned that, I mentioned the starting pitching depth and how they view that as a strength, but someone asked Dave Dombrowski specifically how they plan on competing with the Dodgers, because I think that's a question that a lot of people have right now, considering the offseason that they had, like historic offseason, spent a ridiculous amount of money after spending $700 million on Shohei Ohtani the offseason before. And it just feels like they are the juggernaut in baseball right now. And obviously, being in the National League, you have to go through them. So he basically said that he thinks that starting pitching and building around your starting pitching is the way to do that right now. And I don't know if he's necessarily wrong, because the Dodgers, the rotation that they have is really impressive. And I think the Seattle Mariners will be a bounce back team this year. That could be one of the better teams in baseball. They have an unbelievable rotation as well. And I think the Phillies are kind of, you know, 1, 2, and 3. I think that's kind of the pecking order in terms of starting pitching in baseball right now, with the Dodgers, Phillies, and Mariners. But I'll tell you what, if you don't get more out of this lineup, then I don't know if it's going to matter, because I think that they are trying to build their lineup in a way right now to where it's not only going to provide them regular season success, but it's going to be able to hold up in the postseason. And I'll actually read you my lineup, because I mentioned last week, and I mentioned a couple times, that I think they are going to make some changes with this lineup. Like, I don't think Kyle Schwarber is necessarily going to be the leadoff hitter for this baseball team this year. And I love Schwarber being the leadoff hitter. There's nothing more I love than starting the game off 1-0 with a Kyle Schwarber home run. But it feels like after they've seen for the last couple of years what goes on in the postseason in terms of being able to expose guys and being able to, you know, sort of go after the lineup in a certain way, I think that they are trying to prioritize protection for Bryce Harper, because once teams have found out that if you pitch around Bryce Harper, then you're going to be in a good spot, that's kind of how the Phillies have been defeated over the past couple of years in the postseason. And, you know, obviously we saw that against the Diamondbacks, and we saw that against the Mets last year. So here's my lineup going into this year that I'm kind of thinking might be the lineup for opening day, based off of, you know, what I'm hearing from Rob and what I'm, you know, thinking just in terms of protection for Bryce Harper. So I've got Trey Turner leading off. We try Trey Turner back in the leadoff spot. Hopefully he comes in with that new approach that they talked about last year, even though I'm not holding my breath for that one. But if he can just get on base enough, obviously he has the speed to, you know, steal some bases, take second. And ultimately, that's why they brought him here, to be the leadoff hitter. Like, opening day 2023, after they went to the World Series and they brought him here, he was the leadoff hitter for this baseball team. So I think they're going to give it another shot. They're going to try it again. They want a righty at the top, I know, to be able to, you know, get Bryce in more at bats. So that's why I think Trey Turner will be leading off, because Bryce Harper will be batting second. Then you've got Alec Bohm behind him, Kyle Schwarber behind him. Kyle Schwarber batting cleanup for the first time in a while, it would be. And that just gives Bryce some real protection, you know, behind him. And yeah, you're not, obviously you can pitch to Alec Bohm, and you can, you know, in 2023 against the Diamondbacks when Bohm was cleaning up, that was ultimately what ended up, you know, costing them. But it just feels like Rob Thompson doesn't like to go lefty-lefty, so I don't think that they'll be doing that, especially given that you can match up against the bullpen, or against opposing bullpens, when they can just bring in a lefty for three hitters there. So I think Bohm probably hits third, Schwarber fourth, Casty fifth, Bryson Stott 6, JT 7, Kepler 8, and Marsh 9. That's just in some sort of order like that. Maybe Marsh and Kepler are switched, or maybe Cassidy and JT are switched. Who knows? Even though I think Cassidy probably hits fifth. But that's what I'm kind of thinking in terms of lineup right now. And it just feels like ultimately they want more protection for Bryce Harper, and that's why they're going to try to make this switch. And I typically haven't been a guy who is a, you know, proprietor for, you know, you need to have speed at the top of the lineup, but it would be nice to have Trey Turner available on first base when Bryce Harper, you know, is at the plate to be a steal threat and maybe take some of the attention off of Bryce a little bit. So just think that's pretty interesting. And it gets, you know, Bryce Harper more at bats, which is also a great thing. So that is what I'm thinking lineup wise. And just a couple more thoughts I had off of Dombrowski and off of pitchers and catchers getting to Clearwater is Rob Thompson actually brought this up of JT reducing his role a little bit this year and just getting him off his feet maybe more than they ever had before. And I think that's going to be pretty crucial for JT because we saw, especially towards the end of last year and in the playoffs as well, where I don't believe he had a hit in that series with the Mets, where JT is going to have to be managed a little here because he is in the last year of his deal and who will be a free agent next year. Don't think they'll be extending him, even though I wanted an extension for Kyle Schwarber this offseason. That didn't happen either. I think they're at a spot with JT right now to where clearly he's their best option. Like, you brought Stubby back. You have Marshawn down the minors, even though he's had production up here. He's been pretty injury-prone and has really not been able to stay on the field too much. And I think they're at a spot with JT to where if he could be a league-average hitter and he can just, you know, continue to have, you know, good defensive tendencies behind the plate and command the pitching staff really well, that's what they're looking for out of JT. But I don't know if he is the guy he was a couple of years ago to where they can rely on him to catch 6 to 7 games a week. Like, you have to be able to manage him and get him to the postseason to where he's feeling good and feeling healthy. Because from an offensive perspective, towards the end of last year, like, it was really rough with JT. And you don't really have an option behind him, which is why, you know, I was kind of interested in bringing another catcher in this offseason, maybe. Like, I know Travis d'Arnaud was out there, and that was a guy I was pretty, you know, I wanted the Phillies to potentially pursue, but that didn't happen, and they bring Stubbs back, they have Marshawn, and my only worry with JT is just getting him through this season healthy, because, you know, he's obviously as tough as they come, and he's going to be a guy to where if they ask him to play, he's always going to play, but I appreciate Rob Thompson sort of knowing in the back of his mind that they have to get some more rest in for JT at times, because he's going to be absolutely critical to the season, and especially for the pitching staff. Like, a lot of those guys, you know, have such a great rapport with JT, especially Wheeler and Nola, who have been here with JT for a long time now. So if they can just manage to get him to the end of the season, get him to the postseason, feeling good, feeling healthy, you know, working well with the pitching staff, then that is all that matters. But I appreciate that Rob Thompson may be taking a little bit of a different approach to him this year. And other interesting things, obviously, you know, I'm always interested on the Andrew Painter, you know, Aiden Miller talk, just in terms of what their timeline is like and what their schedule is looking like. Dave Dombrowski did confirm that he probably expects Andrew Painter to, you know, start in the minors this year, of course, and then sometime in the summer, probably July or August, if he's, you know, obviously doing well in Lehigh Valley and doing well in the minors, that he would come up and pitch for the big club, which just get me to that hot summer night at Citizens Bank Park where Andrew Painter is making his debut. Like, unless it's the birth of my first child, which I'm not planning, by the way, I will be at Citizens Bank Park for Andrew Painter's first start as a Philly. Like, that is something I cannot wait for. It is right now February 14th, and I'm sitting here just so excited for Andrew Painter's first start as a Philly. It feels like we've been waiting forever for this guy, which, obviously, because of the injury we've had to, we've only got the one spring training start that we were able to watch. And this guy, everything you just hear from him, from the Arizona Fall League to the minors last year to, you know, even when they drafted him, this guy's a stud. And I can't wait for him to be absolutely shoving for the Phils in the near future. And I just can't wait, man. He's going to be incredible, but we can't rush this thing. You got to be patient. And in July or August, when he comes up, I just hope he dazzles, because that's from everything that you hear on Andrew Painter. That's just those are the expectations that are put on him for a reason. And I wouldn't expect Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson and all of those guys to put those expectations on him if they didn't believe that it was absolutely true and that they could put those expectations on him. So Really excited for Andrew Painter. Really excited for another year development for Aiden Miller as well. They talked about how in spring training, like they plan on all of his reps pretty much being at shortstop. I believe Dombrowski said that doesn't mean he won't take a few ground balls at third base, you know, if that's a option for them. But at the same time, they want him to play his natural position right now, and that is shortstop. And that ultimately could be the thing that ends up pushing Trey Turner to the outfield. Like, I think it should be earlier. I don't believe really in Trey Turner as a defensive shortstop anymore based off what we've seen with him there in a Phillies uniform here. So maybe they're just waiting for Aiden Miller to come up and then they make the move, because once I expect Aiden Miller to probably be on the Phillies for the 2026, midway through the 2026 season maybe, but definitely for the 2027 season. And that could be the time where Trey Turner is either playing the outfield or is even the DH if Kyle Schwarber isn't back here with the Phillies. So really excited once again to be able to see him produce here in spring training, because he is the youngest roster invite. So we'll get some time here and we'll get to see him against maybe some big league pitching, and ultimately just, you know, continue to progress and be one of the Phillies' best prospects. And both him and Andrew Painter, incredibly exciting guys. So really just looking forward to watching them this spring training. And hey, we got a game next week. Like, I looked on my schedule today for WIP and just looking to see if, like, when I'm producing next and what's going on. And I'm producing a spring training baseball game next Saturday. Like, that's unbelievable. They will be playing in just over a week from now. That is just, it snuck up on you. Maybe it was because of the Eagles season. Maybe it was just because, you know, I get so caught up in free agent talk and just, you know, thinking about other things. But we made it. We're almost here. And we've got spring training baseball in just over a week. So that's going to be really fun to watch and continue to monitor that. And of course, we will be giving you updates on spring training every week, just as I always do here on Phillies Today. So with that, that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. And oh, have a good day at the parade, seriously, if everyone's going. That'll be truly an incredible thing. And hopefully there's a Phillies one soon. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.